Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
At where there when Bob and I met first in Oklahoma, and so they were like, I was privileged to be there when you had your start, you know, and we got googly-eyed over each other, so... Yeah, it's been a long time keeping that up, right? So I just wanted to say Bob's having a great time in Spokane, Washington. He started with the children's conference Friday night, and he said the people, and they're from all over the area, Idaho, Washington, actually Canada, Alaska kind of area. So they come to that conference. They're mainly senior pastors or children's pastors and children's workers to be equipped to minister to children in our society, in our world. And so he said they were so hungry, he preached for an hour and a half. And after that, the Holy Spirit fell, and people fell under the power, laughed, and just got free. You know, got wrecked by the Holy Spirit so they can serve him even better. And so he was just really excited about that. And Saturday was the conference with different classes, and he said that was amazing and was flowing really good. And this morning he's preaching at Pastor Rick's church, so... And he's going to preach on the message about, you know, kick the door of fear open, you know, by the love of God and the power of God. And so he's ready to use the big, chainsaw again. And Pastor Rick gladly provided the door. I'm like, you want to wreck another door? He's like, it's a prop, honey, it's a prop. So, well, he says hi. And I've talked to my twin sister in Germany last night, which was our birthday because it's 8-9 hours ahead. And I woke her up because it was 12 at my time. I was like, I want to go to bed. I have to preach tomorrow. So wake up, sister. And so she was still a little crock. And I said, happy birthday. And she is 51 today. And so I will never forget my own age, right? So, but last year she was here. And she had a really fantastic time to get to know many of you. And she wanted to say hi to all of you. And thanks for taking care of her sister. So I have a message today. And my message is called, We All Build. Isn't it true? We all build. Life is about building. Building skills, you know. Actually, God is the one that builds us within the womb of our mother. We build. We put together. And then when we come, we're birthed into this world. And from that point on, and even in the womb, cells are being built, bones are being built, everything's built. When we come out, we build our muscles by what? Exercising. You know, everything stretches, everything grows, everything is being built. And you know, how do children learn walking? They fall and they get up, they fall and they get up, they fall and they get up. We are all... people of, you know, we are all in progress. We all haven't arrived. I still fall sometimes and have to get up. And God's not really unimpressed by that or he knows. He's ready to, like a good dad, say, come on, let's get up. You can do it. Let's try it again. Let's try it again. Let's do this. And because he sees we can. Even when we are about to give up sometimes, he sees we can. And so he's awesome. So talking has to do, we start gibbering, we say, mama, baba, gaga, and then we learn, like I now can speak words. And we learn to overcome as we grow up. I was very, very shy as a child. I had a, you know, not very good self-esteem. And so for me, it was almost impossible to raise my hand in class and say, I have the answer. And if I was called on the answer, I would turn beet red and stumble around and couldn't think straight. So, you know, God has definitely done a miracle in me. It's those that say, I'm never going to be in front of people. God, I'd do anything for you. Said that when God called me to Bible school in Munich, Germany. I said, God, I will do anything for you, but I will not preach. Yeah, yeah. Don't say that. Don't say never to God, you know. He might just have a different plan for your life. So, You know, we build, children build with blocks, with sticks, with water, with sand. We build, we play, we learn, we grow, but we're always building something. And my son loved playing with Legos for the longest time. I mean, just the most amazing things he built out of Legos. I don't know if you like that kind of stuff, but that was just a passion he had. And he's still building today. Not so much with Legos anymore. he probably would love to, but he's got to build other things in life, right? So, you know, we learn, we study, we learn relationship. We learn, for those of us that are married, we learn to build marriage. We learn how to raise kids. Whew. We learn how to rebuild after loss, after grief, after breakdown, after divorce. We learn to rebuild. Some of us have had many of those experiences. Some of us, you know, we all build. If we rebuild or build, we build. We build. God calls us to build because he is called a builder in Hebrews. And we are actually his building. Hallelujah. So we are God's fellow workers and builders. And my message today is about God giving you some God insights and tips on how to build your life well. And some of those things might assure you. Some of those things might be new to you, and some of those things might challenge you. Arr. Have you ever been challenged by God? You're just like, I'm a little rebel right now. I don't get this, and I don't understand. And God will use all that when we're honest with him to grow us and help us and reveal things to us, okay? So it's all right to have all those feelings at times with God. And so I have four points to my message, we all build, and I want you to use those four sentences like a shelf in your heart. And everything I say, hopefully you can place it in a shelf. I mean, there's times when we build our cabins where our garage was just such a mess because we had to put so many things for a new cabin into our garage when we were building one. You couldn't really find anything unless you took a lot out, right? And so things can sometimes not be accessible. And I think those four points, if I give them to you, I want you that the things that I say afterwards will be accessible for you. So number one is, how do I build? Number two, with what material do I build? Number three, am I faithfully building? Am I building to the end? And number four, what am I building with? And all of my message today really comes mainly out of 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and it's very rich and very challenging and very good. And this message has been with me, and I'm thinking about it and felt almost like pregnant with it. And so today I'm just believing Jesus that his word will bring life to you, and it will be life-changing and anointed because I can do nothing on my own. So I'm trusting you, Jesus and Holy Spirit, to touch the hearts of these people that you called by your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if we all please open up to 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15. I have the NIV version. And if you found it, say, I got it. Okay, you there? All right, by the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, or should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives the day, light, and the fire, the builder will receive a reward, a reward, a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So we all build. We are all building. But will we build well? Will we build sturdy? will we build successfully? The question is, are you building on the right foundation? So if you build any of these things in your life, that's relationship, if that's going through college, it's a job stuff, occupations, a future, your relationship, the house of God, whatever you build, it has to be on the right foundation. If your foundation is crooked, it might last a little bit, but any shaking will make it fall. If you have a straight foundation, a strong, a sturdy, a good foundation, you can build high. You can build enormous things. And God and our belief in Jesus Christ is the only foundation that will reach into eternity and give us that reward today and forever. So foundation is an extremely crucial part of building. And the beautiful thing is that God has given us that. It's given to us. It's laid. So I could only start living my life in this world once I was born. And our foundation is really, in a spiritual sense, only when we are born again into his kingdom, when we know Jesus Christ personally, that's the foundation that's being laid. That doesn't mean we don't build sometimes a structure that's not so good and it's, you know, we make mistakes, but we can never fall deeper. We can never go somewhere where we shouldn't be when we are on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It is laid. It is laid for us. And only from there we can build successful Christian lives, okay? Really, having a faulty or unsure or unsafe foundation will only lead to disaster. Some of us have experienced that, and then we came, and then we were born again, and then we understood relationship with Jesus Christ. We became a new creation in Christ, and that's your foundation, okay? So having been forgiving, having faith in him, being born again, leaving the path of corruption, leaving the path where evil has access to us easily. Now we have a voice when we're born again. We say, no, I'm a child of the light. Darkness, you have no part in me. And we can say to the spirits of, the dark world, the demonic realm, no, I'm a child of God. That's not part of me. I do not take that thought. I will not do this. The suggestions of the world will have no power if we know who we are in Christ. Who we are, and how precious we are, that we're paid for with the blood of Jesus, that he went on the cross, he took my shame, he took all my crap, and he made something beautiful, and he allows me to build something on his foundation. So it's awesome, and I'm grateful. So in verse 10, though, it gives that, it says, to be careful on how we build. So I'm going into that first question, that the Holy Spirit wants us to ask ourselves, how do I build? I have the foundation that's laid, which is Jesus Christ. I received him, but how do I build? And I want to bring a thought out of 1 Corinthians 2:9. And it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, but since I love him, since I am on that foundation, I could say that I have eyes that see, I have ears that hear, I have a mind that can conceive what God has prepared for me because I love him. And God reveals things to us by his Spirit, even the deep things of God. He reveals things to us that are to come. He reveals things to us that have been given to us by him. Living in revelation of who God is and what he has done for us is the only way to go. It's the only way to build. It's the only way to go. There's too much out there that could lead us in the wrong direction. And even religious thoughts, even other paths. No, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only foundation that he promised, that we don't have to work anything for. We can just say, I believe, I accept Jesus. You took my sin, you took my burdens, and you took them on the cross, and you redeemed me back to the Father's love. I am now a spirit that's alive. I'm born again, and I can live in this world as a child of God. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to work for it. I don't even have to be good, because he was good. But once you are on that foundation, my desire is to be good. My desire is to do well. My desire is to be faithful. Okay? But it comes because I know him and he enables me. So this is a challenge, isn't it? Do I build from revelation of God? Do I build upon what I know is him? Because as church people, we could fall into that trap of, I've read that scripture before. I've been a Christian for so long. Oh, I know those scriptures. And it doesn't become revelation anymore. It becomes religion. And we can get stifled and hardened and inflexible. And if somebody wants to do something different or sing a different song than you were brought up with, it could just hold you back and say, I don't like that. I challenge you today to stay alive in God. Do not be offended by the little changes that happen in society, because we are supposed to be the light in this world. And we have to reach those that are lost. We have to go after what Jesus Christ lived and died for, to build his kingdom. And we get to be part of that. So God wants to challenge us on watching how we build. If you ever worked with a contractor, or even if you go to a doctor, right, you want to know a little bit about them. You want to know what experience they have. Are they a specialist in that field? Have they built something like that before? What's their skill set? Are they honest? If I have somebody work on my house, I want to know that I'm not going to get scammed, right? So I think we need to check on ourselves and ask us, how do we build? How do we build? How do we build? Do I build according to my way or God's way? Am I building according to God's blueprint? Do I have a revelation from the Lord for my destiny? Do I still hunger for the daily word? A fresh wineskin ready to be filled and directed by God? Can I? Can I be a Christian for more than 5 years and go through generations and changes in generations and still be on fire for God? I was born again in Germany when I was 14 years old. And my Lutheran stuck church went through a movement of the Holy Spirit. It was called the Charismatic Renewal Movement. And suddenly there were preachers that preached faith, that preached to be born again, that preached how to walk with God, who you are in Christ, and my religious heart became alive, and I longed for that. I longed for that relationship, and when I got born again, everything changed. And God did not just allow me to stay as I was. And now I'm 50 years old, 51, oops. and God's still challenging me. So don't come to that place. If I want to have everything like it was when the charismatic renewing hit the Lutheran church, God has since then led me hungrily, as the charismatic movement in Germany tied down and the churches became stale again, because they had so much religion that they couldn't really stay with the Spirit. God led me out through my career, and on going to a different city, I went to a Pentecostal church. And they were preaching that you should, that baby baptism is not just a sprinkling on the head like I had experienced, but that you should be born again and then get dunked, right? And as a sign of, hey, I accept what Christ has done for me. And as a sign for the world and for the devil and for the angels and everybody, right? So I'm like, no, I don't need that. My religious mindset was like, no, I don't need that. I'm already a Christian. I'm born again. I don't need to be rebaptized. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. And I was adamant, like a good German is, you know. And And it didn't take long until the Holy Spirit challenged my little stubborn heart and said, what is... And I'm like, what does the word really say? Oh, okay. The word really says, once you're born again, you get baptized as a sign. And I'm like, And you walk around a little bit, and you go back and forth a little bit. And then I was just like, heck what? My whole family is Lutheran, and they all believe in that. What am I going to do? But I really, really want to obey God. I really, really want to do it just His way. I don't want all the fliff and fluff around. I want Him. I want to follow Him. And so I made that step, and I signed up to be baptized. And my mother called me in the morning. Are you sure this is not a cult? I'm like, no, Mom. It's the Bible. It's safe. And so I did it, but I was the only one doing it. I had my white gown on, and I came up out of that water, and I'm like, wow. And they were singing, and I felt like I was in heaven. I'm like, that's it. I'm following God. I'm obedient to Him, not what I think, but what He thinks, and it set me free. And I think if I wouldn't have taken those steps of obedience, putting Him first, and following revelation that I had, I would not be preaching to you today, because it's a building. A spiritual building, we move forward, right? In our understanding. And sometimes it requires that we turn our back, sometimes to loved ones. So telling you a little story, my twin sister is still Lutheran, and they're doing a great job. And her husband is a Lutheran pastor. And I respect them, and I respect for the work they do with the German people. And they're charismatic. They're speaking in tongues. And they're doing what they can do with what they didn't see the confinement as I saw it. They saw their calling into it. I saw my calling out of it. And I respect them, but I'm surely glad I get to do what I get to do. So I'm not judging. God will reward me, and God will reward them. But I'm surely glad He led me on His path, and I'm here with you. So, you know, it's very important how we build. Let's see some other things that we can fall into. Have we thanked God and prayed over a project when we build? Do I do things in love, by faith, or with grumbling and negativity? Am I still wholehearted or half-hearted or even asleep on the job of life spiritually? If you found yourself a little dry sometimes, I have. It's not a good feeling. And God wants to call us into more of Him, right? Has really nothing to do with your church. Has all to do with your heart and Jesus. So do I work in obedience to the one who called me, or do I always do it my way out of pride or fear? Am I prepared? Have I thought this next step through? Am I organized, or am I always flying by the seat of my pants and wonder why I'm not asked to do a job anymore? Can I lead? Can I follow? Can I communicate kindly? I have missed it in some of those. I'm just challenging you as I challenge myself. So please don't get offended by it. It's good to be honest to our own selves. You know, can I follow and respect the authority set before me? May that be your boss at work, the land of the law of the land, your parents, your teachers, your pastor. Can you own up to weaknesses, to faults? Can you say, okay, I'm a progress. I'm going to try. I'm doing better. I'm learning, right? Can we be honest of how we're building? Can we be honest? Can we be flexible? So how do I build? The next question is, with what material do I build? So what does verse 12 say? If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. My work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. I love that about God. I love that about God. It's not like, if you don't build right, It's like the first thing that God has. If you build well, if you choose the right material, I'll get to give you your reward. Like a father that sees his kid do something well and you're like, I can't wait to give him that surprise. I can't wait to give him his reward. He did so well. That's awesome. That's the heart of a father. But even if we don't choose the right materials, if we are on the foundation, right, we will not burn up. Have you ever seen people run out of burning house and you see sometimes on the news, oh my gosh, they just made it. They made it in their pajamas. They have nothing, what they ever owned or experienced. Everything of their life is gone, but what they have is their pajamas. So good thing. But you know how tough that is, how tough that can be for those people to start to rebuild everything, to be happy about a toothbrush that we just use every day, not realizing I got a toothbrush. I know Julie and Nate, those guys have been in Mozambique on the mission field teaching children. And this is a whole different appreciation, isn't it? When you see what you have and what they so strive for or what they can even do without and be happy. So sometimes we just need to challenge ourselves what is really important to us, right? And what is important to God. So what material do I build with? Gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw. Considering that Jesus is coming back, considering that our inspector of what we build is coming soon, we know the inspection will be done in the light. So, you know, when we build this structure here and we worked really hard and sometimes we painted something and it got really dark, and the next day you come and you see it in the light, you're just like, oh no. Oh no, I missed all these spots. It was dark and we couldn't see. You know, when you build in the dark, it's not easy to be successful. It's important to build in the light. And then the testing by fire, that's just kind of woo, you know, because I'm looking at gold, silver, and costly stones. Okay, in a fire, my wedding band and my diamond could make it. But anything, my beautiful picture frames, you know, everything out of wood and hay and straw wouldn't survive. It would burn up. It would burn up. Okay, so the quality of my work, the quality of my work matters. You know, it's not a case in the scripture where it was just like, well, the poor could say, I couldn't afford costly stones to build with. I couldn't afford gold. If I'm in Mozambique, I don't have these materials. It's not material things that we're talking about. It's not a material building that we're talking about. So keep that in mind. Do you all know the story of the three little pigs? I'm a preschool teacher. So the three little pigs, you know, left the mama. We're going on our own. We're independent now. We're going to build our own house, our own life. And you know, the first one meets somebody with hay and then the other one with wood. And they build a little hut and they're like all excited. And the last one waited the longest and he bought bricks. And then when the big bad wolf came and he huffed and he puffed and he wanted to eat the pigs and the house fell down of straw. Run, 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 quick to get safe to the next one. And then the big bad wolf came, huffed and he puffed and he blew even the second wooden structure down. And boop, 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 the two little ran and they made it. They made it to the brick house. And then when the big bad wolf came and he huffed and he puffed and he blew and he blew and he blew and his house didn't come down. It was built with the right material. And then the fire did something to the wolf. The fire in the house. Fire in the house did something to the big bad wolf. Yeah, he was cooked in a pot. Hallelujah. So if you want the wolf in your life being cooked in the pot, build on a good foundation. Because the storms will come and the wolf will be around and he will huff and he'll puff. But what will happen to your house? What will happen to what you built? In Jesus' name, it will stand. Hallelujah. And get you a reward. Hallelujah. So, You know, Michaela here, she's waiting for a very important question to be popped at some point in her life. And hopefully it will have something to do with gold, silver, and costly stones, maybe diamonds. So my question is, what is the gold, silver, and precious gems stand for? I've been asking that to God. I'm like, God, now what is it? What is it? Honestly, I understand wood, hay, and stubble, that will all burn off. But what exactly? You didn't really tell me what it is. So I have to ask you, what is it? And I'm just pondering, what is gold and silver and costly gems? What is it? And then I'm reading my Bible in 1 Corinthians, and it's about hope, faith, hope, and love. And I read my Bible, and it's about the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's a set of three, too. That's awesome. And then I'm thinking of the wedding band. That's the Holy Spirit gave me that, the wedding band. With the gold, a lot of people have white gold, gold, and silver mixed, and a lot of times a nice diamond, right? What is a wedding ring stand for? The most precious covenant and commitment that you can find on this earth that resembles the Trinity of God and His relationship with us. It's where we're supposed to live out the very covenant principles that God has when He died for us and resurrected us, and now we are one and we are in Christ. So I personally came to the conclusion that for me, as I perceive it, it's living out of that covenant with Jesus Christ. When you live out of that covenant with Him, when you live out of that revelation in faith, in love, with hope, knowing the righteousness you are, walking by His joy and in His peace, that's when we're truly building right. Isn't that good? I had to look at Michaela. The third question was, am I faithfully building? And I based that on 1 Corinthians 4. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God, or the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust, a faith, a foundation, a revelation, a relationship with Christ, that's all in that trust. Now those who have been given a trust, who in here has been given a trust? Amen. Must prove faithful. Must prove faithful. And it goes upon, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. See, I had to make that decision against my parents that I would have loved for me to stay in the Lutheran church. They weren't so outspoken about it, they just cared. They cared. And they were concerned. And that was good. Yet I had to make that step, right? So sometimes when people go, can't see where you are or what you're doing, and sometimes God asks us, yeah, you go to Mozambique. Yes, you do something. And you're like, I know. Those things, you know, you marry an American, German girl, 28 years old, really? You know, I mean, who has not done some decisions where you were questions, but you were really knowing that this is God and you had to obey Him. So I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. But my conscience is clear. That's got to be right, right? You got to be right in your heart. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, again, the positive character of God. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. I love that. I love that attitude of God. Okay? So God wants us to be faithful and to prove faithful. So what does faithful mean? Faithfully building on that foundation, on that revelation of who God is. If you are faithfully building, you don't only start, you finish. You stick to it. You do it over and over. You build building blocks on. You're building over and over. You don't give in or give up. You set your mind to it. It takes character strength. You know, I missed it. One day we had this side power sandblasted because it had that ugly paint that was here and there and all over. And it was really the ugliest building in Gresham when you drove by. The windows, everything was just really, really bad looking, run down. Stunk so bad too. I never forget the stench. And it's so beautiful now. But so we were out there and there was a couple of us that helped shuffle the old paint and mud had just kind of, when they cleaned it, we were cleaning it and it was like this deep of mud and sludge. It was really hard to shovel and broom up. And so we were already here days doing that. And then one day Bob and I did something in the city and we came and we saw the residue was everywhere and there was like a red thing going down to the drainage. And we were like, oh, the city sees that, we're in trouble. And the business next door was, you know, already saying that there's all this sand. And so we were like, we thought it was all done, but it wasn't. And so Bob and I just took the brooms and we worked for hours and cleaned it up, and cleaned it up, and cleaned it up. And I had blisters on my hand, and I was getting a little frustrated, and I was a little outspoken, maybe a little bitter, and I was just like, dang it, why do we always have to be the last ones here? Why do we always have to do, you know, can't we just call some people? And Bob's like, they're coming Saturday, just do it. And I'm like, ah! I don't want to do it. I had enough. I need help. And Bob says, just do it, honey. And I did. But I didn't have the best attitude. And it's not fun to work with a bad attitude. So much more fun when you have a good attitude, when you do things you don't like to do. I'm missing it. I'm not perfect. So, you know, my husband just looked at me. Just do it, honey. Okay, God. Sometimes you think you are at your edge, at your end. Somehow, with God, there's more strength to be had, more wisdom and more growth. So life on the edge is definitely interesting. It's not boring. Thank God for that. So what a joy it was, though, when I came then on Saturdays, and we never knew how many people would show up for our work days here. But when it was a big group, and everybody just did what needed to be done, we had like lists that long, and we just like, you do this, you do this, you do this. And, you know, it was like a miracle every time. Remember that, guys? It was a miracle how much we did together. And it was so much easier to together. That's why God put us together in a church. I couldn't do all the work on my own. Neither could you. And we're not made like that. As we always say, we're deficient by design, right? We need one another so badly. So, in 1 Corinthians, really from the beginning to the end, it reminds us and it warns us, actually, do not fall in certain things that would hinder us to be faithful to the end. And I'm just going to read them. But I think we can challenge our own hearts and see, like I was getting bitter on the brooming aspect of outside. You know, God wants us to prove faithful. What would hinder that faithfulness would be things like bitterness, negativity. Bible speaks of arrogance there, pride, offense, laziness, hopelessness, wickedness, boasting, arrogance. That would hinder us from not running our race to the end. So, or not building faithful and producing beautiful spiritual structures in the house of God. So watch out for those things, because those things like bitterness or laziness or hopelessness, these things can attach itself to our heart. And only if we watch our heart and really take good care of the garden of our heart and pull those things out, we can really stay connected and stay with the vision, stay with the house and put down roots, okay? So I don't know what time is it. I have an amazing story that fits in the faithfulness thing. I'm going to attempt to preach it as fast as I can because I see it's 11:18. If you can open up to Numbers 12, Numbers 12, 1 to 16. It's a story about Moses' faithfulness in the Old Testament. It's very touching. And it's about a story where Aaron and Miriam, which were actually Moses' brother and sister, had a hard time and they fell into some rebellion. And how that all was restored is a beautiful picture of how faithful God is and how faithful Moses was to the house and how things can turn around, even with people that struggle with heart issues and situations. So if you look at Numbers, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? Huh? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down. Hello, the Lord came down. There was a divine manifestation of God in the Old Testament. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there, and this is just kind of really, I could almost cry every time I read it. It's so anointed. When there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. God can get angry. I bet you God was angry with me many times. It's like, honey, really? When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, God, heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, and this is now Jewish tradition, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined, shut out, outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. Wow. If I can ask my son and Brandon and Gabi to come up real quick. Do you mind playing something out real quick? Okay. So, okay, stand right over here because that's my building stuff. Don't touch. Okay. You don't mind playing good or bad parts, right? You all good? You all know who you are in Christ? Okay. All right. You'll be the bad guy. Okay. The guy with the mustache. Okay, Aaron. I'll see. So, I did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, in the story now, right? Okay, put your head on, your drama head. Okay, I love this story because of how God admires Moses for his faithfulness over his house. God is not just like, that's my servants down there. They're doing my job till I come back. He's so proud of Moses. He admires his faithfulness. He's in love with Moses. He just loves what Moses does. He loves his faithfulness. Wow. So God backs Moses up. Leading people can be a rewarding job at times. And at times, it can be the hardest thing you will ever do. Raising a family. Oh, they're so cute when they come out. And then you deal with them when they're teenagers. No, they're great. They're awesome. But I tell you, there is seasons, you know, when a blessing can be a real, real challenge. And any of you, I know, your husband Mike downstairs teaching the kids right now. He's over the kids right now. There's joyful moments, and I bet sometimes it's tough. He's also a coach. You guys are, you know, coaches. You deal with stuff. There's the joy of the game and what you learn and what you train. And there's the stuff where people don't come on time and they have attitudes. And, you know, it's the same old sometimes. And you deal. You take on an organization. You take on a covenant. You get married. You raise kids. You help in church. And then, it's joy, but it's also conflict at times. Can be the hardest thing. I mean, I think pastoring is the hardest thing I've ever done besides raising kids. And both of it is very rewarding as well. So am I willing to know that both aspects will be lived out in this world? That with the good also comes the challenge at times. Man, Jesus, he saw the good in us, and then he had to die for us. Ooh, let that sink in, right? So here we have Miriam and Aaron and Moses. And he's the humblest man on the world stage. So God doesn't like the attitude, right? Obviously, God knew Moses' job wasn't easy. He had led thousands of people out of slavery in Egypt and now was on a journey with them to find and inherit God's promises and his promised land. Sounds a lot like a job of a pastor in a mega setting. Mega setting. Thousands, thousands. Come on this way. Come on that way. Battle this war. You have to eat the stuff that you find the dew because you just complain God provided, but this is the same food at breakfast every morning. Collect it. Don't keep it overnight. It'll get old. So God teaches them to follow instructions. God teaches them to be their God, leading them to green pastures. But sometimes those people and sheep are not always teachable. And I think that was one of Moses' struggles that he had. And he had an amazing team that helped him out of Egypt. But here we see, even though God was impressed with Moses' faithfulness, his closest team members right here started to think otherwise. And they started to gossip and complain about Moses, the appointed leader. So Moses married a black woman. He married outside of his race. It was not a sin, not even in that time. In the Old Testament, he loved the woman that had darker skin color. And he chose her. That was his natural choice. And he was happy. So here's Moses. And there's his brothers and sisters. And they started to, you know. Funny thing is, they talked about something natural, but they didn't keep it there. They didn't say, well, I just don't like her big feet or something. You know, they pulled God in it. It wasn't about a racial issue or interracial marriage, which, hallelujah, we have many of them in our house. And they're God-ordained and beautiful. But, when there's always a cause for because. There's always when people have an issue, there's always a cause. And obviously that cause can be true. But a lot of times it can also be false. or presumption or, you know, competition or whatever was the reason between that they had talked against Moses. But the interesting thing here is was that they didn't like what he had done, but they made it a spiritual issue. They pulled God right into that conflict. Did God need to be in that conflict? No. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? Challenging Moses' ability to hear and lead. Wow. So, God did not like it. At once, and that's like in the Old Testament, at once the Lord said to Moses, okay, come here. And then all three of them, come here, Benjamin, all three of them stood there at the tent of meeting. God had come in a pillar of cloud and he said, Aaron and Miriam, come here. And he let Moses stay by the side. So he summoned them closer to his heart. And when those two stepped forward, he said, listen to my word. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But it is not true with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face. Clearly not in riddles. He sees my form. Why then, you two, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Wow. The anger of the Lord burned against them. He's just like, I don't like what you guys just done. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. So obviously, in this whole conflict, she must have been maybe the principal offender. She must have been the one that started the whole thing. Yes? So, because God's not, like, just touching the woman. You know, obviously, I am as well able to sin as any man. It's not a matter of skin color or gender. Okay, the anger of the Lord burns against her and he left. So here she was, all white as snow. And Aaron looks at her and he realized what had happened. And he saw that it was leprosy. And he said to Moses, turn around to Moses. He said to Moses, please, my Lord, I asked you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be with like one that has no future. A stillborn baby has no future in this world. It's still loved. It still goes to heaven. But it didn't have the chance to fulfill the days of its life, right? So here is Miriam. She could have been stopped right there. She could have been killed by this disease. In the Old Testament, they were pretty rough with those kind of things. A lot of times they moved on, let them be outside the camp because lepers, I don't want anything to do with it. God didn't allow that. God didn't allow that. So Aaron, such a kind man, he said he wanted to restore what had broken. So he asked for forgiveness. He asked, forgive us our foolishness. What we thought was just foolishness. It was dumb of us. Whatever happened, you know, it wasn't right. Please, please, forgive us. Hold it not against us. And so Moses, the humble man, right? The man that was talked against, whose wife was rejected, who was gossiped about, who was put down in his leadership. This very man has a heart of a shepherd. And he cries out to the Lord, God, please, God, heal her. Hallelujah. And the Lord replied to Moses and he said, he gave an example. He said, I will, but we need some time here to be restored. You know, when you give your kid a timeout or a little spanking, you make a point. You make a point. Change is needed. Change is needed. Okay? This is time to reflect. So if her father had spit in her face, which is a sign of, you know, detest or disgrace or rebuke. And there were actually stories where they did that in the Old Testament when, you know, the Old Testament is the Old Testament and we are supposed to learn from it, but we're not living in it. But there was a situation when, like if my husband died, then my husband's brother would have to marry me and make sure that my bloodline would be upheld and I would have children, right? And so, and if, so the people and the elders would come and say, you have to marry the widow now. And if the guy said, no, I really can't do it. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Then that woman would take the shoe off that man who was supposed to marry her and spit in his face. And then it was like the shoeless man. He had a name afterwards. No, I mean, that was a public thing at that time. But that spitting was, as I said, it was done at that time. Thank God. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? In my Greek wedding, they still do that when a bride walks down. They do the spitting thing. So different cultures, different things. But in this way, you know, so God made a point. Because he was angry, because it was unrighteous, that spitting thing is just like, you know, have that because you need that to change. I don't know how to say that different. They spit in Jesus' face and he took it for us. We spit in Jesus' face and he took it for us. So let's not get too who, right? It's a symbol here. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days and the people did not move on. Those guys did not move on with all their camels and herds and thousands of people and left her in the dry. They waited till the 7 days were done and she was brought back. Yes. And restored. Yay! Hallelujah. There's so much more about the 7 days, and I think I might preach next Sunday and finish this. But you may sit down. Thank you. God helps us to build. God helps us to be leader after his own heart. And in all these stories, and in the First Corinthians way, you know, how we build matters.